Welcome to Bible Talk, the program that gives Bible answers to Bible questions. This program is brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. Your speaker is Lynn Huggins, preacher with the St. James Church of Christ.
We live in a time when it seems that almost anything goes in religion. The view is that each person has the right to choose whatever religion he desires, and that God will accept him in whatever choice he makes. Someone has said, "Surely God is too big to fit into just one religion." There was a well-known newscaster who was interviewing a missionary, and she said to the missionary, "Surely you're not saying that salvation can only be found in Jesus. Cannot salvation be found in Muhammad, in Buddha?" Well, this newscaster was saying the same thing. Surely God is too big to fit into one religion. Well, this is the question that I want to address on the program today. Is there only one true religion? Well, the first point I want to make is God does not fit into any religion. God sets the standard. Either we fit into His standard or we do not. In John 17, verse 17, when Jesus is praying to the Father, Jesus says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." God's word is truth. He sets the standard. If we believe and practice something other than the truth, God's word, then we are in error. John the Apostle wrote in 1 John 4 and verse 6, "We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." That religion that complies with what God has revealed through His apostles and prophets, the Bible, is of God. And that religion that does not comply with the truth that God has revealed is not of God. You see, God sets the standard, and either we fit into His standard or we do not. When Jesus lived on the earth as a Jew, there were different sects among the Jews, Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, etc. There were different beliefs among them. Now, which sect did Jesus fit into? Well, He didn't fit into any of them. You see, He set the standard. In what is commonly called the Sermon on the Mount, recorded in Matthew chapters 5 through 7, Jesus teaches with authority. When Jesus finished His sayings, Matthew records in chapter 7, verses 28 and 29, "And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at His teaching, for He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." You know, in chapter 5, several times Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said," but then He would say, "But I say unto you." He was contrasting what the Pharisees emphasized in their teaching and practice with what was actually the truth, "What I say to you." You see, Jesus was teaching the standard that people needed to hear. Jesus taught with authority. He said as He was concluding His sermon in chapter 7, in verse 24, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock." And then in verse 26 He said, "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand." You know, this statement of Jesus would be an arrogant statement if He was not able to back it up. But was Jesus able to back up His words? Well, the wind and the sea obeyed His words. The demons obeyed His words. The dead obeyed His words. Sicknesses obeyed His words. And the point is, if the wind, the sea, the demons, the dead, and sicknesses obeyed His words, when He speaks, we should also obey His words. You see, He backed up His claim of authority with His miracles. Jesus did not fit into whatever religious beliefs there were among the Jews. He set the standard and expected all the Jews to fit into His teaching. Also in 1 Kings chapter 12, we read of the kingdom of Israel dividing. Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, was king of the southern kingdom called Judah, and Jeroboam became the king of the northern kingdom called Israel. Jerusalem, where the temple was and where the people would go to offer sacrifices, was in the southern kingdom of Judah. Now, Jeroboam was concerned that if the people continued to go to Jerusalem, to the temple, to offer sacrifices, that eventually their hearts would turn back to Rehoboam, the king of Judah. So Jeroboam devised his own religion. He made 2 calves of gold and set up one in the city of Bethel and the other in the city of Dan. He said to the people of Israel, the northern kingdom, "Here are your gods, O Israel, which brought you up from the land of Egypt." That's in chapter 12, verse 28. Now here he changes the object of their worship. He also changes the place of their worship by having them to go to Dan and Bethel rather than Jerusalem. He also changed the priesthood. According to God's law, the priest had to come from the tribe of Levi. Well, it says in verse 31 that Jeroboam made priests from every class of people who were not of the sons of Levi. He also changed the day of a feast. According to God's law, the Feast of Tabernacles was in the 7th month, beginning on the 15th day of the month. Well, Jeroboam ordained a feast on the 15th day of the 8th month. Verse 33 says, "So he made offerings on the altar which he had made at Bethel on the 15th day of the 8th month, in the month which he had devised in his own heart." Where did Jeroboam get his religion from? Well, it was something he devised in his own heart. Now, do you think God said, "Since Jeroboam has decided to worship like this, I guess I will just have to fit in"? Well, we know better. In 1 Kings chapter 13, a man of God was sent by God to Bethel to speak against the altar there. Well, did God just fit in? The question is not, will God fit into the religion of my choice? But the question is, will I choose to live by the standard which God has set? But then secondly, not only does God set the standard that we must fit into, the standard that God has set is exclusive. You know, God's standard does not and cannot accept some other religion. For example, does God's standard accept the worship of other gods? You know, in the 10 commandments given to the children of Israel, God said, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God." That's Exodus 20, verses 3 through 5. Well, does God say that His standard will fit in when people worship other gods? No. God's standard is exclusive. In Acts chapter 17, when Paul was in the city of Athens and saw that the city was given over to idols, did Paul say, "Well, that's okay, God fits into all religions"? Well, we know better. Verse 16 says, "His spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols." He then spoke to them about the one true God. You see, God's standard is exclusive. Now, the Jews believed in the one true God, but they did not believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Well, when Paul went into the Jewish synagogues, did he say, "Well, you're okay, God fits into all religions"? Well, no. He tried to persuade them that Jesus was the Christ. In Acts 17, verses 2 and 3, it says that Paul reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ." In Acts 18, verse 5, it says that Paul testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. Paul is saying to these Jews, if you are to be right with God, you must believe in Jesus. You see, God's standard is exclusive. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Peter said in Acts 4, and verse 12, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." No one can be saved outside of Jesus Christ. No one can be saved through Muhammad or Buddha. You see, God's standard is exclusive. But then thirdly, God's standard is more exclusive than what many who claim belief in Jesus will want to think. Many define a Christian as anyone who espouses some form of faith in Jesus Christ. As long as you believe in Jesus, you are a Christian and are in Christ's church, they think. The differences in the denominations don't really matter because we all believe in Jesus and are all striving to go to heaven. The differences are not important, they say. Whether baptism is immersion in water or sprinkling of water doesn't really matter. Whether baptism is for infants or for penitent believers doesn't really matter. How one worships God doesn't matter. How a church is organized doesn't matter, they say. But you know, the fact is, the Lord has given us a pattern concerning baptism, concerning worship, concerning the organization of His church. And the Lord expected those who believed in Him to follow His teachings. He said in Luke 6 and verse 46, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" It's not enough to believe Jesus is Lord. We must do what He says. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." It is not just a matter of believing Jesus is Lord. We must do the will of the Father. What is His will concerning baptism, worship, the organization of the church, etc.? Well, the believer in Jesus is concerned about what Jesus has said on these subjects and will do what He says. Can we practice baptism in whatever way we choose and expect God to fit in? Can we worship in whatever way we please and expect God to fit in? No. The Lord expects us to learn His standard, His pattern, and then fit into it. But then fourthly, not only does God set the standard, and His standard is exclusive, but we will be judged by the standard. In John 12 and verse 48, Jesus said, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." Can you imagine standing before Christ in judgment to be judged by what He has said, and yet you don't know what He has said? You know, Jesus' words were written by the apostles and prophets. In John 16, verses 12 through 15, Jesus promised the apostles that the Holy Spirit would come and make known to them His words. That promise was fulfilled. These writings are the New Testament scriptures. These are the words of Jesus. These are the words by which we will be judged. Do you know what is written therein? You know, when I was in school, the teacher gave us an exam, and I was not prepared. I didn't know the material, and it was horrifying. But can you imagine facing the exam of all exams, the last exam that you will ever face, and then not knowing what is in the book? Well, this is the final judgment. What will happen if you have had the attitude that you will do what seems right to you in religion and then expect God to fit in? How will you be judged? God expects us to learn His standard and to fit in with it. Our time is gone for today, and we thank you for listening. We invite you to check out our website. That's sjchurchofchrist.com. On this website, you're able to hear sermons on a variety of Bible topics, and you're also able to hear previous Bible Talk radio broadcasts, as well as download transcripts of these programs. That web address again is sjchurchofchrist.com. That's sjchurchofchrist.com. If you have a Bible question, or if you would like to request a free audio CD copy of any of our Bible Talk broadcasts, then give us a call. Our telephone number is 573-263-4690. That's 573-263-4690. Or you may send in your questions or requests by email. Our email address is sjchurch@sjchurchofchrist.com. That's sjchurch@sjchurchofchrist.com. Again, thank you for listening, And join us again next week for Bible Talk.